This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. Today, why the U.S. can't get the biggest oil producers to fold in the oil price war. DOE drops their bid to restock the SPR, and the EPA eases regulatory compliance due to the coronavirus pandemic. It's Friday, March 27th, and I'm your host, Kelsey Tamburino. The coronavirus pandemic that has paralyzed the world over the past couple of months has also crushed oil demand across the world, which has sent crude prices down. But there is also another factor outside of the global pandemic that is causing prices to stay low, a price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia, both production giants that have been competing for over a month to see who can get the lowest price, in a bid to get a bigger share of the oil market. But instead of going through all of the geopolitical intricacies and throwing a bunch of numbers your way, we're going to take you to Las Vegas, along with Politico's Ben Lefebvre, and explain this as if it were a multi-billion dollar poker table. So pack your bags, put on your lucky shoes, and let's go.
I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas.
All right, so let's pretend we're in Vegas with Ben Lefebvre, who's been keeping a close eye at how this showdown between Russia and Saudi Arabia has been playing out. Ben, so the poker table in this scenario represents the global oil market.
Go on.
And the chips symbolize the country's share in the market. In other words, how much of their oil is sold in order to meet global demand. But first of all, who are the big sharks to watch at this table?
Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the United States.
Okay. And you've been looking at this table for a while. Can you tell us what cards Russia has in its hand? In other words, what are their advantages in this game?
That they basically have a state-owned oil company. They've got quite a bit of oil. And also, their government isn't really democratically bound to do the popular things. And if the prices are too low, even though it'll hurt their budget, they have a little bit more of a pain threshold because they don't have to worry about, you know, people bothering Putin about, you know, losing jobs or whatnot.
Okay, so that's Russia. What about the Saudis?
Same kind of deal where they're not really beholden to voters because they don't have any voters. It's a royal family. So they can kind of do things for a while without, you know, a little bit more of a pain threshold. Also, they've got the world's largest oil reserves, and they have the cheapest cost of production. There's a little bit of, you know, mystery about exactly how much it costs for them to produce a barrel of oil, but it's generally understood to be the lowest around.
Okay, and what about the U.S.? How's our hand looking?
At this point in time, I guess the strongest thing about the U.S. is because it's shale oil, it's easier to turn on and turn off than the other countries, but it's also one of the more relatively expensive barrels around. I mean, it's still fairly cheap, you know, compared to where we were, you know, years ago, but things have gotten efficient enough where I think last I heard $50 was kind of like where the average company starts to lose money.
So Ben, who started this whole game and why did it happen?
Russia is not technically part of OPEC, the big oil cartel that Saudi Arabia is a huge part of. And for a while, OPEC and Russia had kind of agreed, we're not going to produce as much as we possibly could because we want to keep prices, you know, up. At some point, Russia said, we don't want to do this anymore, so we're going to produce as much as we can. Where at that time, Saudi Arabia said, you know, we're not going to let you be the cheapest producer out there and steal our market share. So we're also going to kind of basically produce as much as we want, go, you know, even lower than you can with prices. And, you know, we'll take as much market share as we can get until maybe you come back to the table to agree to, you know, a production, you know, limit. Basically, it's a game of chicken. I know you've been playing cards, but this is more of a game of chicken to say who's going to blink first and decide, okay, we'll agree to a level of more of your liking.
But Ben, there's an important card here that we haven't discussed, and that is who has the biggest savings? In other words, who can keep playing this game for the longest?
It's believed Saudi Arabia does. They've got a large sovereign wealth fund and also probably better credit. So if they have to borrow money, they kind of keep their government running while they, you know, keep oil prices low. They have a better way forward on that.
And in the meantime, the U.S. oil production is suffering the consequences of the dropping oil prices. What do they want the Trump administration to do?
What they want to do is the U.S. government to grab the table, flip it over, and like throw the two players into separate corners, you know, but they're not going to do that. The table's too heavy. They can't flip anything over. They'll probably just sprain their wrists and sit back down and, you know, kind of wait for the game to finish and see where things lie. Some of the administration will say, well, look, you know, you guys owe us. I mean, you've been an international pariah for years. We've always stuck by you. You know, maybe we're not going to give you the arms sales, you know, deal that you want. But, you know, that's not going to work. I mean, it's just the Saudi Arabia rulers are just going to, from people I talk to, are just basically going to take that argument and say, you know, basically, whatever. We're going to call your bluff. You'll probably be supporting us anyway. And you might not even be around here after November. So, you know, what's in it for us to, you know, to do what you ask?
By the way, yesterday, the Energy Department withdrew its request for offers to buy 30 million barrels of oil to put into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, after the money it needed from Congress did not make it into the massive stimulus package that passed the Senate on Wednesday, and the House is expected to pass today. The administration wanted to buy a total of 70 million barrels of oil to fill up the SPR in order to take advantage of low oil prices and to help small oil producers in the country. And before we go, yesterday, the EPA said it is going to allow multiple industries, including big polluters like oil, gas, and chemical companies, to delay some regulatory compliance due to the coronavirus pandemic. Over the last few days, many industry groups have asked the agency to delay compliance, saying workers cannot perform all of the tasks required to comply with environmental laws, while also working remotely to comply with social distancing recommendations to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Oil, gas, and chemical executives also warned that if more quarantines need to be applied in the future, their companies may need to scale back compliance work, such as regular checks for pollution leaks. But there's already a lot of criticism to the decision to relax enforcement, including from former EPA employees who say the agency is granting breaks too broadly. Subscribe to the Morning Energy newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy and subscribe to this podcast for free on your favorite podcast player. You can listen to the show on your smart speaker. Just search for the Politico Energy Podcast. Our producer is Carlos Prieto. The senior producer is Jenny Ament. And the executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our editors are Matt Daly and Nick Giuliano. Thanks, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Support for the Politico Energy Podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.